That was great. Wasn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. You know, I have to, because I love music and it's a big part of my life, I have to say that all through the history of the church, there have been attempts to outlaw one instrument or another. I mean, the piano was forbidden in churches for the longest time. Guitars were forbidden. Saxophones were forbidden. There was a long period of time in the history of the church where any instrument was not acceptable in church services. And we've been through a period of time over the last 25 or 30 years where people thought that the organ was passé and it was not going to be needed anymore, and let's sell them and get rid of them, and you know, they're not needed anymore. But life goes through swings, and I've been reading in several journals in which the organ is making a strong comeback, and with people like Cole around, I think it's going to be around for a long time. So, yeah, you can clap to that if you want to, Gary. Yeah. Anyway, that blessed me. I love all of the music. I love it all. If it's a guitar and a banjo and a bass, or if it's an organ, if it's a piano, if it's a symphony, if it's a harmonica, I think it all has a place. I remember one man used to bring his harmonica to church where I was pastoring because he was not able to sing. And so when we would sing, he had two or three harmonicas, and whatever the pitch was, he would pull out the right harmonica, and he would play his harmonica along with everybody singing. I think that's fantastic. I think that's a great idea. And he would touch a lot of hearts that way because he wanted to be part of the service in his singing, but he couldn't, so he played his harmonica. So, Cole, God bless you. Keep it up. Well, it's October. And October is a month that is very special to me. I always think of the return of our dear Savior, Jesus. I will not be surprised if Jesus, when he does come, comes in October. You know, he made that comment in his preaching there at the temple one day that when the Son of Man comes, he said, it will be like a cloud in the east, like the lightning in the east, a storm. So many of us believe that when Jesus comes, he will return from the east. It's very interesting that in October, the constellation Orion is in the east. And it is said that through Orion is the direction. Now, for the longest time, people thought, with just telescopes viewing Orion, they thought that it was that there was an open space there. It looked like there was a sort of a channel to go through Orion and on up further. And then along came telescopes like Hubble and Chandra and took closer images, and then they said, well, there's no open space there. Well, that was a problem for some Adventist people in particular, because Ellen White does make that little statement there where she says when Jesus returns, he will come through the open space in Orion. All right, well then people go, well, Ellen White wasn't an astronomer, and maybe she didn't really see that, and they say all of those kinds of things when they're trying to reconcile what science says with what a trusted authority says. Well, now guess what? The astronomy journals that I read from time to time, well, guess what? There really is an open space through Orion, and they're trying to figure out exactly what it is and where it goes, but astronomers are now saying, well, yeah, we were wrong when we said there was an open space. There really is one there. So one thing about science and nutrition and all of that stuff, just remember that if you don't like somebody's opinion, wait a couple of years, there'll be another one. And that's sort of how all of that goes. So I do my best to stay with what the Bible says because I trust that authority. What about you? You trust that authority? So the coming of Jesus, it won't surprise me if it is in October. It would sort of be like him sort of putting an exclamation point to that whole disappointment thing back there in October of 1844 when everybody in the whole world just about thought that he was going to come on October 22, 1844. I think about that, and it would be so exciting if it was this month of this year if Jesus would return. One of the things that, you know, pastor appreciation, I appreciate Jordan very much. I tell him on a regular basis. He's my relevance check. Every once in a while, I come up with something and I'll say, what do you think about that, Jordan? And he'll give me his honest opinion. And he's always nice about it. And a couple of times he said, well, you know, in his little way of being careful, he'll say, well, you know, Pastor Kevin, I might not see it that way, and you know, or something like that. And at that point, when he makes that little speech, I go, okay, I got to remember to think more like, what did Gillette say you were? Oh, yeah, young. I got to think more young like that. So, and I'm glad you are young because, I hope that you stay young. Just stay young. That's because getting older is not what people say it is, okay? So just hang in there. But I think about hurricanes hitting North Carolina, Houston last year or so, a tsunami in Indonesia, fires all up and down. How quickly we forget, you know, the rains come and the fires go out, and our focus is shifted to the hurricanes. But every year you see this increase. Next Sabbath or so, I'm going to be talking about that. And there is a measurable increase in the disasters, and that plays a pivotal part in the end of the world, and we'll see what the Bible says about that. But I often think we need the Lord to come. We need the Lord to come. All of the violence, every time I hear about a school shooting, I just feel so sick inside. I really do, because when I was a kid, that was never, that would have been a horror story. You know, that would have been something that would have been rated R. You know, in everybody's mind, it was. We've become anesthetized to how awful it is. It's become our normal. All the abuse. Jordan and I just attended a little seminar where a lady who is an expert in single parenting gave a really excellent seminar to all of us pastors. And one of the things she said just completely astounded me. She said 78%. Of all of the criminals that are locked behind bars in the United States come from a single-parent family. 78%. Well, you know, think about all the devastation in all those homes across the nation. We need Jesus to come. We need Jesus to come to correct this terrible thing called sin in our world that hurts all of us. So I want to talk with you about something that may seem a little odd, but to me it's a sign that Jesus is coming soon. UFOs. You know, when I was a kid growing up, the space race, and I remember my great-grandma was still alive when they were sending a man to the moon, and I spoke with her about it in the car one day. My mom was driving, she was in the front seat, and I was in the back seat, and I said, Grandma, what do you think about a man going to the moon? She said, it's not true. I said, it's not true? Nope, not true. I said, why do you say that, Grandma? It's Hollywood. It's a movie. It's not true. She said, they can do anything in Hollywood. Not true. But oh man, all the TV programs, you know, Lost in Space. Let's see, how many can I remember? My Favorite Martian, Lost in Space, Star Trek. You know, all of that, Star Wars came along later, and then all this fascination with space and people. Now, you have to understand how all this fits in my head. You see, that was at a time, this was starting to happen at a time when every church on Sabbath and Sunday were full every week. All across America. That was at that in the 60s. If you were an American, if you weren't in church, you felt guilty about it. Most everybody was going to church. And if you look at pictures from churches in the 60s, they're all full. Catholic, Protestant, everything in between. They were all full. Sabbath, you know, people showed up for everything. If the church was doing something, everybody showed up for whatever was happening. That was the way culture was. And white hats and white gloves if you were a lady. Some of the things you remember about things like that. But so along comes this concept that the universe is vast and there has to be beings on these other planets way out there. Now we know, because of telescopes like Hubble and Chandra and so on, that if you take the bowl of the Big Dipper, and if it someday clears up here when you can see the stars, which could be next year or... But if it eventually clears up so you can see the stars, and look at the bowl of the Big Dipper. And they tell us that by actual count, give or take a few thousand, that there are 100 million galaxies just in the space of the bowl of the Big Dipper. 100 million galaxies. And each galaxy has 300 to 400 billion suns. And how many planets revolve around those suns? And how many of them are popular? Well, as Christians, we know that Job chapter 1 and 2 tell us that there are creatures, there are God-created beings living on these other planets in the world. The Bible's very clear about that. So, we don't have any issue with that. But then what people are saying, and the United States government and other governments have spent billions of dollars trying to contact these people, which I always scratch my head about because I go, well, first of all, if they can hear what we're doing, I'm not sure I want them to hear what we're doing. Because if that were really true, because they're at least as advanced or maybe more advanced than we are, and I wouldn't necessarily want to interact with those beings like that if that were really true. But the Bible says that this planet is the only planet in the entire universe, or universes as they say now, where sin is at. Lucky us. This is the only planet in all the planets where sin is. And the Bible says that there is no contact between us and these other beings on other planets. Because in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, you see very clearly that God has that under very strict control. He casts Lucifer out of heaven so that there would be regulated contact between Lucifer and his angels and God and his angels. Revelation 12, verses 7 and 9. And then, at the cross, Satan was further degraded, you might say, or restricted, because he can no longer go back to heaven as our representative. Revelation 12, verse 10. Because Jesus is now our representative in heaven. Amen to that? So Satan can no longer go back and harass Satan. So we see that God restricts the communication between sinful beings and those who are not sinful. There's a restriction there. So since this planet is the only planet that has been affected by sin, biblically speaking, we're talking Bible here, if a UFO appears, it's not a being from another planet. Notice what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. This is what the Bible says. This is a quote from Paul to Timothy about the times just before Jesus returns. That it will be a time in which people will be chasing after myths rather than truth as it is received to us from God. Okay, I have a video here I want you to... I got two of them. These are both really short, and I thought you would like to hear it from, as we would say, the horse's mouth or the media. So let's see. Here we go.
From the National UFO Reporting Center, UFO sightings experienced a boom in the 1980s. Reported sightings went from less than 5,000 in 1980 to about 10,000 in 1990. But between 1990 and 2000, sightings rose by nearly 30,000. In those 10 years, more than 45,000 sightings were recorded, a record. And it appears the spike in UFO sightings was not an anomaly, but a trend. In an 8-year period from 2002 to 2009, more than 36,000 UFOs were reported. Since then, more than 11,000 more UFOs were reported, with more than 47,000 being cataloged since 2010. Statistician and PhD candidate Sam Montfort brought this information to light. With the collection of data from the reporting center, Montfort found that individuals are far more likely to spot a UFO in the U.S. than anywhere else in the world. He reports that on average, there are 2,500 sightings reported per 10 million people, 300 times higher than the global median. Northwestern and Northeast eastern states have filed the most reports sighting per capita. Perhaps with 7 new known planets in the universe, we could experience even more close encounters in the future. For Fox News, I'm Rob Demetrius.
I found that really interesting, that Fox News report about UFO sightings and how they've been increasing and increasing and how they are more in the United States than other places. When you think about the place of the United States in Christianity in the past, and you think about its destiny in Revelation 13 to 18, that has a very interesting little part to play, doesn't it? Why would Satan especially want to bring his deception here? Well, when you think about those things I just mentioned, what we were supposed to be doing, taking the gospel to the world, and what we're going to do at the end of time as a nation, it makes sense. Here's another one from Tucker. You guys are probably acquainted with him.
UFOs have captivated the public interest for decades, but they've always been dismissed, including by me, as the province of wackos. But that is changing thanks to some remarkable videotape and firsthand accounts from very sober people who are trained to identify aircraft. And that would include this video. It shows two Navy pilots encountering something bizarre off the east coast of the United States. Watch this.
Roger, there's some shooting.
Are you Fox moving
car here? No, I took an auto track.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Okay, these are guys who fly for a living, who know what other airplanes look like, including those maintained by foreign governments, and they're totally shocked by this. This is one among many incidents like it, including many that have happened in the middle of the day to sober people, lots of independent witnesses at the same event, commercial pilots, military pilots, O'Hare Airport in the afternoon. None of them have obvious explanations. These are aircraft, apparently, that are moving in ways that appear to violate physics, that are flying very differently from any aircraft ever observed, and way faster than any plane that we know any foreign country has. What is this? Well, we don't know, because for some reason the Defense Department is not interested in finding out. Lou Elizondo is a former Pentagon official. He helped research UFOs. He said the DOD is not taking any of this seriously for some reason. Mr. Elizondo joins us tonight. Lou, good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
So did I overstate that? Is there a growing corpus of evidence, not drunk people on a lonely rural road at 3 in the morning, but sober military pilots saying something that we can't explain is happening?
That is correct. You're talking about individuals who have very high security clearances. They are trained observers. We've actually paid them and put them through school to be trained and very keen observers to scrutinize what they're seeing. These are individuals who we trust to fly weapons platforms, sometimes with live munitions, over U.S. cities and to fight and win wars on our behalf. And they're reporting to us that they're seeing something that they can't explain. And it's also being backed up by the video evidence and the radar data and other witnesses.
But these must just be weapons.
Okay. So there is corroboration there from people who are monitoring things from the government. So what is really happening here? Well, the Bible says that just before Jesus comes in Revelation 16, verse 13, that there's going to be much more spiritualism on display in the world. And that this spiritualism, you might say miracles, all things supernatural, are going to happen more frequently. And this is going to cause people to doubt previous connections that they've had in things having to do with spirituality and even in science. And it's going to funnel people more like a cattle chute down into a very specific way of looking at the world and the way things are happening in the world. It's going to create widespread panic. And in that panic, with all the other things that are happening, including the natural disasters I'm going to talk about next Sabbath that the Bible says are going to take place, this widespread panic in the world is going to create globally what happened here in the United States when the Twin Towers came down back there in 2001, when people were saying, we want safety more than we want anything. We will trade anything. We'll trade privacy. We'll trade privilege. We'll trade anything as long as we can feel safe. And when you have that kind of global feeling all over the world, then we'll step in what Satan is planning to do to bring about a focused agenda that he wants to have take place in this world, where people will turn away from God's law, specifically the fourth commandment, and will instead focus on spiritualistic things, spiritualism. Catholicism, Protestantism, all of the religions will be grappling with these global issues. And then people in the religious leadership positions of this world will step in to lead the world in a direction that is away from God, biblically, not toward His truth. So Satan started this whole mess with spiritualism, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. He came and appeared in the form of a snake. That's spiritualism. As a medium, the snake became a medium, and he's speaking to Eve. He deceived two very perfect people, perfect and innocent people, through the means of spiritualism. In 1 Samuel, he deceived Saul through spiritualism and led Israel down a dark path. In 1 Kings chapter 13, 18, it was a lying spirit who destroyed a prophet. And you can find other areas in the Bible where Satan speaks lies through spiritualistic means to try to deceive people. In Revelation, as I mentioned, it says at the very end, Satan will end his work on earth through spiritualism, and eventually he will try to impersonate Christ, as you see there in 2 Corinthians 12, 13 through 15, and Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. His goal is to deceive and distract. And that's why these UFOs, to me, are an indicator that Jesus is coming soon. The increase of them, the widespread acknowledgement of them, the mystery about them, all of that is a distraction away from God, away from the truth, away from the idea, in many cases, that there is a God and a responsibility to God. But even more seriously, it is a deception that is preparing people for greater deceptions that are about to come. Because if you buy into the idea, and if it eventually can be seen that these UFOs are playing into a spiritual agenda, then that will naturally lead people to accept spiritual goals that are laid out for them by false religious leaders as the time draws near. Well, this is what I saw. Some people say UFOs are that people don't actually see them. Some can be explained by natural phenomena. Some can be explained by human mechanics of one kind or another. But then there are some that are absolutely real, and this is what I saw. Now, this is I've never forgotten what it looked like. And I was about 18 at the time. I had recently become a Christian. I lived in this area. I knew every mile of this whole area. I traveled it often. This was an open field surrounded by trees. It was a farmer's field. There were no towers. There were no poles of any kind. There was nothing up there in the sky like an airplane. You can hear the sound of it. An airplane would be moving. These lights, as I have arranged them here in this photo for you, I reproduced it here for you. Those lights appear just like that, with kind of a glow like that, and in that order, and just like that, and just stayed there. I saw it in my car, and I stopped my car and got out at that field where those lights were in the sky like that to see what that was. And there was no noise. They weren't moving. Nothing took place at all. And I knew, as I said, that there was nothing out there in that field. So what could it possibly be? And I finally said, it's got to be a UFO. So I come home and I tell my mother what I saw, and she, the color drained right out of her face, and she said, if you ever see anything like that, do not get out of your car. Don't stand around. Don't have anything to do with that. She said, that is not from God. And she said, you don't want to have anything at all to do with that. And I kept watching those lights as I was driving away, and they never moved. Nothing ever happened, never up or down or sideways, and then suddenly they disappeared. So there was something spiritualistic about that, for sure. And I have no question in my mind that people see these things, because I myself have seen things. But again, Satan's agenda is to distract us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, he wants us to be pacified and preoccupied with fables and entertainments and amusements, whatever they might be. And not all amusements are bad by any means. And it's nothing wrong with spending some time with your family or even by yourself from time to time in something that is a pleasurable distraction, as long as it doesn't violate God's word, of course. But people have become so absorbed with these things. Did you know that in the last 8 years, there have been 239 superhero movies? And all of those movies bring in millions and millions and millions of dollars. And in addition to that, over the last same period of time, there was 174 fantasy movies made talking about witchcraft, wizardry, the miraculous, the supernatural, all of that stuff. So you put that all together, you have there are over 400, almost 500 movies in the last 8 years that have no purpose except to explore the idea of anything that is beyond God or that gives you the ability to move beyond God in your mind or in your thinking of any or in your actions. All of it is a distraction away from the real superhero, and that is Jesus. He is the only power in this world that can give us any kind of solution to what we face. If your heart is broken, He's the only one who can mend it. If your future is uncertain, He's the only one that can make sense out of it. If you have brokenness, He's the only person who can heal you. If you have fear, He's the only one who can give you peace. And it has always been Satan's goal to distract us away from these things. And the Bible says, as we read earlier, Satan is doing these things just prior to the second coming of Jesus. It's going to intensify and amplify. It's going to have a wider influence in the world. More of these sightings are going to be seen, more and more. More unexplained phenomena, supernatural stuff is going to take place. And a little preview for next week, pretty soon natural disasters are going to become supernatural disasters. And when people see these terrible things happening in their lives and in the world, and they know that it's not a natural cause, they're going to be terrified. And in that terrified state, when lies are given to them as to what they should do to have safety, people will buy those lies because they want safety more than they want anything else. All of these things are Satan's actions in the world to deceive us. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict His word are completely in the dark. They will go from one place to another, weary and hungry. Now notice this. I want you to really pay close attention to this, because this describes why we have so much vitriol in the media against Obama and against now Trump. Why is all of this stuff happening the way it's been happening over the last 8 or 10 years? And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. They will look up to heaven and down at the earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness. That's an absolute pinpoint description of the times in which we are now living. People are without God. They're buying into all these fables. And what's the result? They rage. They rage at God. And they rage at whoever the elected leader may be. That's the time in which we live. And all of these tell me that Jesus is about to come. It tells me that He's coming very soon. So because of that, I want to follow Him. He's the only one who knows the way. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. That was for you, Gillette. And remember, if I sing, I want you to sing, because I like singing better when you sing with me. Jesus said, follow me. And that's the way we want to live just prior to His coming. We want to follow Him. Go where He goes, do what He does, be where He's at. So I would like to have you go home today with this thought. When you hear about UFOs, when you hear about superheroes, when you hear about magic, when you hear about anything like that, and when you see how prevalent it is, that is absolutely an indication that we're almost home. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Jesus, we just want to let you know that you, our true pastor, are greatly appreciated. We love you with all our heart. We often wish we thought and spoke and behaved better. We're so grateful that you forgive our sins, that you choose to forget our mistakes, and that you are so interested in helping us in our daily life. Thank you for giving us eternal life, for dying on the cross for us. As I've often said to you in prayer, if that were the only thing that you had ever done, that would be sufficient to call forth endless praise. But besides that great sacrifice on the cross for us, you have also freely given us every good thing. Oh Lord, the people in our communities, they are so blinded by all of these things, UFOs and the ideas of philosophies and social ideas and politics and money and pleasure. They're so distracted and so deceived by all of these things. Please show mercy, Lord, to the people of our communities. Please send revelation from your word somehow to pull back the curtain so that they may see what the real truth is and turn from their sins and find salvation and healing in Jesus. And we know, Lord, that we are your hands and your feet. So wherever we go, whatever we do, we pray that the love of Jesus and the truth of his word will abide in our hearts and in our lives so that everyone we meet may have an opportunity to become better acquainted with you. And when we need to speak, give us courage to speak, to know what to say, so that we can guide adults and children toward your word and toward salvation. And bless us, Lord, in our church here. Bless us. Give us your presence. Give us your blessing in every area of our life. For we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.